Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. 2 weeks from this morning, we will know who the next president will be. The latest CBS News New York Times poll shows a growing preference among likely voters for Republican George Bush, who now enjoys a wide 13-point lead over Democrat Michael Dukakis. The poll finds voters worried that Dukakis would weaken U.S. defenses, be soft on crime, and hurt the economy. That's a lot to overcome in very little time.
This is Rob Armstrong with the Dukakis campaign.
We've been so polled and polled and polled that I think we're all getting a little tired of the numbers, but I feel good about things. I think we're making some real progress. And I think it's because we're beginning now at long last to address some of the basic issues that face us in this campaign.
Michael Dukakis spent 90 minutes last night being interviewed on the ABC News broadcast Nightline. But despite a broad discussion of the issues, the dominant underlying tone was that Dukakis trails badly in all the recent polls. Nonetheless, campaign chairman Paul Brontës says he does not believe the polls.
The fact is, people don't like to be told. They're going to make up their own minds, and they're going to make up their minds after looking carefully at the candidates, irrespective of all the polls in the world.
Nonetheless, most of the polls show that the Dukakis message is not having the desired effect, and in fact, the gap is growing wider. Today, Dukakis takes his campaign and his message back to Illinois. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, with the Dukakis campaign in Denver.
This is Judy Muller with the Bush campaign. Michael Dukakis may be an eager talk show guest, but George Bush is not. Asked why Bush won't be appearing on live broadcast interviews in these final days before the election, Press Secretary Sheila Tate said, "The question should be, why is Dukakis accepting?" implying that such appearances are a sign of desperation. Aide Craig Fuller put it this way.
We think it's more important with 2 weeks to go in this campaign to not take time out for media appearances, but to travel around the country, campaign hard, get out and see the voters, motivate people to go out to the polls.
Fuller also says Bush will refrain from responding to any more attacks from the Dukakis camp in order to concentrate on the issues. This morning, it's an address in Detroit on the economy. Judy Muller, CBS News, with the Bush campaign in Detroit.
And a politically important economic statistic is out this morning showing third quarter GNP growth down to a 2.2% annual rate. The Commerce Department blamed the slowdown on the drought, the trade deficit, and reduced Pentagon buying. In Moscow today, an apparent human rights breakthrough. Jan Charlton reports.
Visiting West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl told reporters the Soviets have agreed to release all people who could be considered political prisoners by the end of this year. However, the definition of political prisoners so far remains unclear. Western governments have given the Soviets lists of people believed to have been jailed or sent to psychiatric hospitals for their political or religious beliefs. But some of those known in the West who were recently released say they left behind people whose names are not on anyone's list, but who are being held for the same reasons. Amnesty International says it is believed the Soviets still have 200 political prisoners behind bars. That compared with about 10,000 a few years ago. Jan Charlton, CBS News, Moscow.
Amnesty International said today the revival of death squads in El Salvador has resulted in the assassination of hundreds of suspected government opponents. The London-based human rights group said the reemergence of death squads, usually made up of troops and police, coincides with the armed forces' open opposition to the policies of President Jose Napoleon Duarte. A day after the Philippine inter-island ferry Dona Maryland sank during a Typhoon Ruby, officials say more than 327 people are dead or missing. But as Wyatt Andrews reports, about 140 survivors have been found.
In a fearful, emotional scene replayed over and over again in company headquarters in Manila, they are reading the names of the known survivors of the ferry disaster.
Ramonito Salay, watchman crew.
A scene that brings relatives a mixture of relief at the names they hear and frustration from the names they don't. Most worrisome for the relatives of the ferry disaster is the fear that the estimates of 500 persons on board are almost certainly low. Ferries throughout this island nation are always packed at the last minute. Many of the relatives who gathered at company headquarters knew they had relatives on the ferry, but got only blank, unknowing looks from company officials. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Manila.
Lawyers for Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos have asked federal officials to move their arraignment set for next Monday from New York to Honolulu. The former Philippine president and his wife charged with looting their country's treasury of more than $100 million. Soviet icebreakers have joined the effort to free the whales trapped in Alaskan ice. David Dow reports.
It all happened a few hours after rescue coordinator Ron Morris met with the no-nonsense captain of the icebreaker, Admiral Makarov.
I told him I was grateful that he was there. He said, great. How are the whales? Let's get to work.
The American whales, said the first mate, are truly an extraordinary case. From all parts of the country, he said, children are calling a Moscow newspaper asking, how are the whales? David Dow, CBS News, Barrow, Alaska.
Two Marine Corps helicopters crashed last night on a training exercise near Yuma, Arizona, killing all 10 people aboard. In South Africa, a low voter turnout is reported so far in segregated municipal elections, described by one newspaper as the nation's strangest ever. Martha Teichner reports the racially divided nation is on edge.
Although streets and polling places were saturated with police to protect voters, overnight several candidates' houses were firebombed. Security was just as heavy surrounding white voting. For whites, the election is essentially a battle over whether the government's racial reforms have gone too far. But because anti-apartheid leaders don't think the government's reforms have gone far enough, their calls for a boycott of the elections have intensified, even though they are illegal. Last night, nearly 100 police sat in box seats at Cape Town City Hall as the Reverend Alan Busack dismissed the voting as meaningless to blacks.
These elections are still not democratic. They will never be democratic because the people who have called them don't know what democracy means.
Then candles surrounded by barbed wire were lit to honor more than 1,000 political activists detained without trial during South Africa's state of emergency. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Johannesburg.
For the third time in less than a week, Israeli warplanes pounded guerrilla bases in southern Lebanon today. At least 15 people reportedly were killed and 40 wounded, including a top PLO commander. Today's attacks came near the port city of Sidon and just south of Beirut. Senior French police officials say they doubt that three French gangsters would have been capable of assassinating President Kennedy in 1963, as alleged in a two-hour British television documentary aired last night. The film claimed the three Corsicans were hired by the American Mafia and suggested one gunman was disguised as a Dallas policeman. Two of the alleged gangsters are still alive, and one of them, Martin Sauveur-Perronti, said in Marseille today he was in the French port of Toulon on November 22, 1963, serving on a Navy minesweeper. A French naval spokesman confirmed that. The dollar is generally lower overseas today. Gold is up a dollar in London to $407.50 an ounce. On Wall Street to this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is down 15.5 points at 2158.07. Big Board volume, 26 million shares. It's 10 past 7.